chapter 48, reading again at verse 14. And Israel stretched out his hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. This is the final act of Jacob, and not only the final act of Jacob, but it is the one act of Jacob's life which the Holy Spirit has seen fit to single out, of a life full of many wonderful things in connection with his relationship to God. But this is the incident which God the Holy Ghost has been pleased to single out as the evidence of the faith of Jacob. For we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, where there is narrated the special acts of faith of many of the fathers of the church, in the Old Testament church. This is what is said concerning Jacob, that Jacob, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Jacob, by faith, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob, Ephraim and Manasseh. It was when Jacob was dying, he now near the end of his journey, and as he is dying, he is not dying without hope. He did not live without hope, but what more important is, he is not dying without hope. And the hope of Jacob is that one hope of all the church of God in every age and generation who shall be like Jacob. Jacob, when dying and blessing the sons of Joseph, had this first of all in his mind, that he was on the verge of entering into that promised reward that the God of eternity had held out to him. That is where true religion is aiming at, whatever profession we may have. If we are exercised as we ought to be, if we are among those who are truly born again from above, then heaven is in our aim. As we had it today at the question, the people of God are a people who are asking the way to Zion. And surely Jacob was asking the way to Zion, and his face was thitherward. Many are asking the way to Zion, but their face is very much not thitherward. Their whole life and conduct make it very clear that although with their tongues they are asking the way to Zion, their faces are by no means turned towards Zion in the secret of their souls. But that was not true of Jacob. He was on the way to heaven. Now, it is in connection with that promise that we find the faith of Jacob, which is mentioned here, which is mentioned, in the Hebrews, in connection with the incident of Ephraim and Manasseh. It is, I say, in connection with that faith that we find Jacob here on the verge of eternity, greatly exercised, because what was the faith of Jacob? It was based on this, that he had the hope and promise given him for himself and his posterity that they would enter into the land of Canaan. God met Jacob long ago and promised him, as he says here in this very chapter, he begins by reminding us of that very thing, that God met him at last, that is to say at Bethel. And there, what did God promise Jacob? That he promised him the land of Canaan for his inheritance. He promised him the land of Canaan for his posterity. And in the language of Old Testament scripture, and especially with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and those, it was well understood by them that God did not mean that they would be inheriting the land of Canaan naturally and physically. For with regard to Abram, it is said, he did not so much as set a foot in the land as far as possessing the land is concerned. And here now we come to Jacob, and Jacob at the end of his days, as he's dying, he is not even in Canaan. He is in the land of Egypt, far removed from Canaan. And yet, this was a promise he got, that he would have the land of Canaan given to him for his inheritance. But he knew that God, in promising him the land of Canaan, was holding out to him heaven itself, and that is what he desired, and that is what he believed that God would bring him to. And now at the end of his day, as he is dying, he's looking forward to that. But now in connection with the promise of the land of Canaan, we find the faith of Jacob was severely tried. His faith was very sorely tried. That was a great affliction to him all his life long, ever since especially Joseph himself, the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, had disappeared in that time when his brothers sold him into the hand of the Midianites, and he was sold as a slave down in Egypt. Ever since then, Jacob's faith was greatly tried with regard to the promises that God had spoken to him, that it was not easy for Jacob by any means to hold fast to the promise of the word of the Lord. And yet, here he is dying, and it is said his faith is still in exercise, for by faith, when Jacob was dying, that faith was still in exercise. And because it was in exercise, he believed that the promise would be fulfilled. Notwithstanding all the vicissitudes, notwithstanding all the seeming contradictions to the word of the Lord that had come to pass, Jacob was persuaded that what God had spoken, he was able to accomplish. And now we are going to show you how we come to prove that the faith of Jacob is worthy, as the Holy Spirit has indicated, of being noted in respect to this, what he did with regard to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. How proper it is that it is on these two sons the eye of Jacob should fix, because these are constitute the greatest miracle, as it were, of the issue of the promise to Jacob. He had other sons, and he had their children, but as far as Joseph was concerned, this was surely the fruit of his faith, to find himself in the land of Egypt and to find Joseph there. And he had to say, I did not expect to see thy face. God has showed me not only thy face, but he showed me thy seed. Here was something which shows us the exercise of the mind of Jacob all along, that he was harassed with the trials and difficulties in connection with the promise, for long ago the word of God had spoken to Joseph in the dreams, and the father, we are told, took note of these dreams. The father perceived that that was the word of the Lord, and the father perceived that that was the word of promise, and yet what shadows and darkness intervened, so that by now everything had become absolutely dark. And yet here is Joseph now in Egypt with two sons, as Jacob indicates, born before Jacob came into Egypt, and born unaware to Jacob. And therefore how suitable that it is toward these two sons that he should turn his attention with regard to the portion here before us. Jacob is not only himself believing that the word of the Lord will stand and that he will get the inheritance, He's not only believing for himself that he will get heaven for his inheritance, but what is now before us is this. He is indicating that. He is holding out to Manasseh and Ephraim, or Ephraim and Manasseh. He's going to hold out to them the same promise, the same blessing. And that is, to begin with, as the Bible says, an act of great faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was a dying, when he was almost dead, when he was coming to the very end of his days, this was what was in his mind, that the promise of God would be fulfilled, that the promise of God would be accomplished, not only with regard to himself, but with regard to these two persons here brought before us, Ephraim and Manasseh. It is true that it is connected with his own hope. It is connected with his own salvation. If there was no future, if there was no sign of the promises of God's word being accomplished to his family and to the tribes of Israel, then indeed Jacob might well tremble as he comes to die and enter into eternity. He may well listen to the voice of unbelief, questioning the whole issue. But no, Jacob's faith is strong, and it is so strong as this, that he will show others the way of salvation, which he himself has found to be the way of salvation. And when he's dying, he can say to those he's leaving behind, I will show you the way of salvation. I will promise you the way of salvation. I will indicate to you how you, Ephraim and Manasseh, what did they know? Born in Egypt, lived in Egypt. No doubt Joseph was a godly man. And as far as some are concerned, they believe that he converted his wife also into the faith of the God of Israel and enlightened her in the great matters of the covenant that was made known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nevertheless, they were in Egypt. And now, is Jacob content to see them in Egypt? Is Jacob going to say to them as he meets them in Egypt, How well situated you are, the two sons of Joseph, the great man in Egypt, palatial dwelling no doubt, surrounded by every possible comfort and every hope for the future. Ah, here is Jacob coming along. Here is Jacob coming to Ephraim and to Manasseh. Set your view, he says, on what? Set your view not in Egypt. Set your view in heaven. Set your view in the Canaan that's promised to me. And that's what the Church of God is saying to sinners, and has been saying to sinners ever since the beginning. And here now, what a wonder that it should be to Ephraim and Manasseh, born in Egypt, where you might think not only was there the difficulty and the possibility of them saying, we are taken up with Egypt. Oh, what we've got in Egypt. What an honor we have in Egypt. What place we have in Egypt as Joseph's sons. Never one was held in such high esteem as Joseph was held in Egypt, surely. And therefore the sons might well believe, their portion secure, their happiness certain. And here now is Jacob, and that's what Jacob is saying, by faith, when he's dying. Oh, when he's dying, when he's looking at the world behind him, when he's facing the eternal world. He's going to give advice. He's going to give direction. He's going to meet with Ephraim and Manasseh. He is not swallowed up by what he sees of their earthly and personal glory, and even of the glory of his son Joseph, although that was told to him. Tell him of all my glory, said Joseph, in the land of Egypt. Ah, when that reached the heart of Jacob, what was Jacob saying? I hope Joseph's mind is not taken up with the glory of the land of Egypt. I hope Joseph's mind's in a greater glory. I hope Joseph's mind is set upon a more wonderful glory. Tell him of all my glory in the land of Egypt. Is Joseph beginning to think that the glory of the land of Egypt is the glory that his father is going to be interested in? By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, what will the glory of Egypt do for you, Joseph? What will the glory of Egypt do for you, Manasseh and Ephraim? You are on your way to eternity. You're on your way to another world. You're going to live forever and ever. You're never going to cease to be. You're going to a place where time shall be no more. There's only a breath in your nostrils keeping you from the awfulness of a great eternity. And therefore now, this is what Jacob is saying, pointing the way to Ephraim and to Manasseh. He told Joseph, he commanded Joseph, bring your children to me, Joseph. Remember, Joseph, what I had. He tells Joseph to begin with. He said to Joseph, remember, Joseph, what the Lord did for me when he met me at last. He blessed me. When God met me at Bethel, on that occasion when I was running away, helpless and lonely and with nothing at all in my possession, someone was saying, why did Jacob leave home so empty-handed? His father had plenty of riches. He was a rich man. Why did Isaac not give Jacob something to help him on his journey? No, with this stick, he said, with this staff, he came alone. And the reason was, Isaac would have Jacob have faith in God and rely upon the Lord and come to know the Lord. And that's what happened at Bethel. That's what happened at that place where God found him, as it says later on in the prophet Hosea, which we may refer to later if that is the way. But meantime, we can say God met Jacob at Bethel. Now here is Jacob saying to Joseph at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord met me at last and blessed me. And the Lord told me at last, Joseph, did I never tell it to you before? Did I never recall this experience, Joseph, when you were a young boy in home? Did I never recount to you, children of mine? Did I never tell you how the Lord blessed me at last? Did I keep it a secret till now? Surely not. Surely Jacob often referred to what the Lord had done to him in blessing him at last. But now Joseph is here, you see. The blessing is about to be given to Ephraim and to Manasseh, and the father is preparing Joseph for what is going to take place. He reminds Joseph, first of all, remember, Joseph, what God did for me at last. I told you already about it. And he told me there and then that I would get the land of Canaan for mine inheritance. He gave me a promise then of an inheritance when I was lying there on the stone, and when I saw the vision of the ladder going up and the angels going up and down, when I saw the revelation of God, when I saw the gospel of the grace of God as it was, when I saw the way of salvation opened up to me, then I got a hope for heaven. I saw the way to heaven. I saw the way to Zion. Indeed, I did. I saw it. And everyone who's on the way to Zion, they got a view of that way to Zion. And Jacob got a view of the way to Zion. And now he's saying to Joseph, that's it. That's what's in my mind, Joseph. And I'm going to bless your children. And the way I'm going to bless your children is by instating them, as it were, instating them in the covenant, instating them in the blessings of the covenant, instating them in the things that pertain not to Egypt, nor to your glory in Egypt. Oh, how carnal we are. How far from the faith of Jacob. How well pleased to leave our children with the world and the things of the world. We labor night and day for that. We concern ourselves night and day for that. The Lord knows it. The Lord knows what value you're putting on the inheritance of heaven. The Lord knows what your mind is. And when you come to die, will you be any more minded than that? Will you be like Jacob, when Jacob here at dying showed that the world meant nothing to him, Egypt with all its glory? Although he was glad, no doubt, to see Joseph, and that was a great matter. That's what made Egypt wonderful to him. It was not the house that Joseph had. It was not the land of Goshen, the plenty in the land of Goshen. All that was very wonderful. What did it mean to Jacob? What does it mean to faith? What does it mean to those who are spiritually minded? What does it mean to those who are thinking of heaven? Drossen down. And now then he goes on to show how this blessing is to be handed on to Ephraim and to Manasseh. He calls upon Joseph to bring his children to him. Bring me thy sons, they are mine, they shall be mine. I am adopting them, I am taking possession of them, I am going to have them spiritually. They're going to be with me in the things that pertain to the promise of God. And now here he goes on to show how he will bless Ephraim and Manasseh. And we're told he put forth his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, and his left hand upon the head of Manasseh. Leave alone just now that was questioned by Joseph. We shall see what that means later on. In the meantime, it's sufficient. The hands of Jacob are stretched out over Ephraim and over Manasseh. Oh, Ephraim and Manasseh, what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing. They could not have found this in the land of Egypt had they gone from one end of it to the other. Had they been advanced any higher than they were, they could not have found this blessing. Oh, this is the blessing of blessings. This is the blessing of faith. This is the blessing that is only to be understood by faith and granted by faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He put his hand upon their head, and in doing so, he indicated to them the blessing that he desired them to possess, the blessing he would have them inherit. Oh, what is the blessing that the Church of God would have us inherit? What is the blessing, friend, which God is revealing to you in his word? And how are you to obtain that blessing? And what interest have you in that blessing? And what hope have you that that blessing is yours? For that blessing is to be found in one way and one way only, and that is the way in which Jacob himself directs us here as he goes on to tell us how it was that they were to be blessed. He blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abram and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long and to this day. Here it begins. Here is where the blessing begins. It must be traced to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. That is to say, there's no blessing for you outside of the covenant of grace. There's no blessing for you. People speak foolishly and talk glibly. God bless you and God bless you. All that ignorant talk. Not having any conception. How am I going to be blessed? And you yourself may be saying, I'm asking for a blessing. Did you ever consider how am I going to be blessed? What is the means whereby I am going to obtain a blessing? Where shall I begin? Where shall I start with regard to seeking the blessing? Where did you start with regard to seeking the blessing? Where did you begin, friend? Where did the Lord lead you? Where did the Holy Spirit lead you when you began to seek and when you began to be concerned about the blessing? Well, if we are taught by the Lord, we must begin where Jacob begins here. He blessed both the sons of Joseph, and this is where he began. He began by showing them the source of the blessing. There can be no blessing for Ephraim or for Manasseh. There can be no blessing for Jacob himself, no, nor for Abraham nor Isaac either, apart from what is brought before us here, that God revealed himself in a special manner, as it says, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, even God, the God which fed me all my life long until now. If we are to get the blessing for our souls for eternity, without which you shall never see heaven, Jacob would never see Canaan, Israel would never see Canaan. It all goes back to this promise, it all goes back to this covenant that God revealed unto Abraham. God revealed his covenant, as the Bible says, he revealed it unto Abraham and unto Isaac and so on, and unto Jacob he confirmed it. The covenant that God has made, there's no blessing until you and I are brought to see the covenant that God has made, the source of any blessing coming from him. How can a blessing come from the God of eternity to sinners who deserve his curse, who deserve his wrath, who are his creatures rebelled against him? How can the God of eternity, how can you entertain that he is going to bless you unless you start where Jacob here starts? Ephraim and Manasseh are going to get a blessing, and their eyes are directed towards the covenant that God made with Abraham and Isaac. That is to say, the covenant which God revealed to them, which is the alone covenant of the gospel, the covenant of grace, the plan of salvation, if you like, to put it that way. The plan, God's purpose and plan for the salvation of lost and perishing sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made a covenant with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible declares. Whether you and I understand that or not, that is what must be known if we are to get any blessing at all. There's no blessing to be had apart from this, that God the Father made a covenant with his own Son in eternity. God made that covenant with his Son freely, out of his own good pleasure, from all eternity. He entered into compact or agreement with his Son with regard to blessing sinners of the race of Adam, with regard to blessing lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you are. God entered into covenant with his Son over that matter. And that covenant was revealed from time to time. And here we find Jacob making mention of it as the very foundation of the blessing. And what is it but the foundation of the blessing? The covenant that God made with his Son. And that is what you are here faced with in remembering the death of his Son. For that is what sealed the covenant. That is the greatest manifestation of the covenant that God made with his Son. A covenant, an agreement that he would bless sinners of Adam's race, that he would bless a number which no man could number of the race of mankind, and that the way would be open for him to do so by the death and sufferings of his own Son eternal in our nature. That's the covenant. No blessing for any apart from that plan of God to bless this unworthy, to bless the undeserving, to bless Ephraim, to bless Manasseh. What right are they to a blessing any more than others? What right has anyone to the blessing of God? We have merited, and would that we knew it, and would that we felt it, and would that it was a burden to us. We have lost all right to the blessing. Hell is our portion. We have merited hell in our covenant head, Adam. We have merited hell in our own transgressions. Our own sins surely have merited a lost and undone eternity. The wages of sin is death. How then can a sinner, guilty, deserving of death eternal, have any prospect of the blessing of God? But this is it. He provided for it in the covenant, whereby his Son undertook to answer for these sinners who are going to be blessed. The Son agreed, the Father proposed that this would be so, that in order to blessing sinners, the Son of God will become cursed, as cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that he would die, that he would suffer, that he would open up the way, the only way that could be opened, for any sinner like you to be blessed. That's where the blessing began, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and this was in his mind as he blessed them. His own hope. What hope have I, might Jacob say, that I am going to heaven? What hope have I? I have the word of the Lord. What word have I of the Lord? What word did I get from the Lord? What word did you get from the Lord? What word did he give to you? David was saying there, remember, Lord, that word which thou spakest to thy servant, upon which my hope is based for eternity. What word, friend, did you get from the Lord regarding your own salvation for an endless eternity? This is the word that the sinner gets for his hope for eternity, the word that Jacob here is giving to Ephraim and to Manasseh, the word that opens up to them the covenant of grace, the covenant of God's love, the covenant that God made freely by his grace, wherein he purposed to save sinners in and through his own Son, dying and suffering. Has that covenant been revealed to yourself? He will manifest his covenant to them. There must be a manifestation, a revealing. What do I mean by that? What does it mean? God is purposing to save sinners in and through the death of his eternal Son, and something of what that was to mean for him and did mean for him. And that is how the blessing can come to a sinner and can come to your soul and to mine. And that's where Jacob then begins here, the covenant. But how will I know? How will I know if I'm in that covenant? How shall Jacob know? How was Jacob to know that Ephraim and Manasseh were in the covenant? How was Jacob to know? How were they to know? He tells them. He goes on to indicate to them if they would listen to him, he will enlighten them further. And so it is, friend, with you. There are ways whereby you will know very well whether or not this covenant has been made manifest to you and opened unto you as one of the beneficiaries of the everlasting covenant of grace. So he goes on to say to him, God, he said, that fed me all the days of my life until now. There surely I had a proof that I was in the covenant, that I was under the covenant love of heaven, that the God friend who is the God of the covenant, and the God whom I look to as the one who made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with myself. This is how I know, this is how I came to know about it, this is how I came to have it revealed to me, this is how I had it in my experience. I can speak of him now, and I can say to him now, here I am dying, here I am dying, and we're all going to die. And you're going to look back in your deathbed, if you have one, and you're going to look back and you're going to consider, how do I know that I've got a blessing awaiting me? How do I know that I'm on the verge of heaven? How do I know that heaven is to be my everlasting portion? This is the way, dear friend, you know, because he says, he could look back and say, the God that fed me. Can you say that? Can you say that you are living the life of looking to God, as Jacob was, the God that fed me, feeding their meaning, everything, everything concerning Jacob, all his concerns and all his needs and wants, spiritual and temporal, he could say, the God that fed me, the God who guided me, the God whose hand I was under as a shepherd, the God whom I accepted as my shepherd, and I look to him for guidance, I look to him for light. And therefore, I am passing on the blessing to your sons, Joseph. I am blessing them in the name of the covenant God. I am blessing them in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God that fed me all my life long and to this day. The God that promised me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, can you say that? Who is feeding you? What do you know of the life of faith? What do you know of a life of obedience, of a life of waiting on the Lord? What do you know of a life of dependence and a life that is lived out in the light of God's face? I think it's Spurgeon that said he would not be ashamed to have his life written in the vaults of heaven, because he lived it before God. And if you're living your life before God, you're not looking to man, you're not taking up with man, and you're not just living according to what man's opinion is and what man's view is and how man will consider what you're doing. To the law and to the testimony, you're living by the word of the Lord. You're living by the directions of heaven. This word of God is your, not only your feet, your food and drink. It is that. It is also your rule and guide. This is how you're living. Is it true? Is that how you are living? Jacob, looking back, could say, all my life long, God fed me. That's the life of those who are getting the blessing, and to inherit the blessing, and to have the blessing that the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, oh, it's no small blessing I'm holding out to them. I'm holding out to them this, the God that fed me all the days of my life. That's the God of the covenant. That's what's in the blessing. That's how you know you're in the covenant. And then he goes on to say, particularly in connection with that matter, the angel, he says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. That's a blessing I want for them. That's a blessing I'm putting upon them. The blessing of the angel, particularly, that redeemed me from all evil. And who is the angel? The angel that we read of in the book of Hosea, in chapter 12, in the book of Hosea, when the prophet Hosea is recalling what God did for Jacob. In the 12th chapter of Hosea, God recalls what he did for Jacob. He tells us there how God found him at Bethel. God found him at Bethel and blessed him at Bethel. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake unto him. That's what took place. The angel. The reference is, as you may know, to that night when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the covenant. Jacob found himself in danger, extreme danger. He found himself ready to be destroyed by his brother Esau coming with 400 men, and that meant the end of Jacob's hope. No family, no posterity, no promise of God to be accomplished. What God has spoken is at an end, as far as natural understanding could indicate. Esau is coming in great zeal, and he will kill Jacob for his long awaited revenge. What does Jacob do? Jacob goes to prayer, as you remember, at Peniel. And Jacob wrestles with the angel. And the angel is Christ. Christ appeared to Jacob at Bethel. And Christ appeared to him. And Jacob knew, this is the one, this is the angel, this is the one who can help me. This is the one who can bless me. Ah, friend, if you're going to get the blessing, you must be brought to wrestle for the blessing. You'll not get the blessing asleep. You don't need to think you will. You will not get the blessing asleep. He wept. He made supplication. Maybe he wept when he got his broken limb. That would be one suggestion. But whatever it means, he prevailed. He wrestled all night, we're told, till the break of day. If you're going to get the blessing for your soul, Ephraim and Manasseh, the angel, that's what he's saying here, the angel that he prevailed with, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the Lord. I found the angel that could redeem me from all evil. You must find in Christ. You must find in Christ your redeemer. You must find in Christ the one who will redeem you from all evil. You find yourself conscious of all evil that is against you, spiritually. You're in an evil condition. I mean, just now using the word evil in a sense, that Jacob was in an evil condition when his brother was about to kill him. Surely, you're in a much more evil condition. And we are, if we came to know it, what an evil condition we're in. It's not 400 men that are coming to destroy you, sinner. Have you found that out? It's not an Esau with 400 men that's terrifying you. If you're going to get the blessing, then you get the blessing realizing something of this, that you are confronted with the revenge, not the revenge of a brother like Jacob, although a revenge can be very strong, the revenge was very strong, and Esau would have killed Jacob immediately, and the longer it lasted, the more it heated up, and revenge is a terrible, powerful thing, and Jacob had every right to be afraid of the revenge. But friend, what are you? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God will take vengeance on sinners, whether they know it or not. And God will take vengeance on you, sinner, whether you know it or not. You have sinned against the Lord. He is coming toward you with vengeance indeed. The controversy is not healed. He's coming toward the sinner. He's coming toward you. And you, if you're going to get the blessing, if you're going to find yourself in the covenant, this is how it comes to pass. The angel which redeemed me, the angel which I met at Bethel or Peniel, the angel that came that night when I was at my wit's end, when I was not knowing what to do, and when I turned aside and tried to pray to God, then I found that night an angel. What an angel we have, friend. What an angel you need. Who can protect you or me from the coming vengeance of heaven? Who? On what are you relying to protect you when all your sins and mine with them shall be avenged by the God of eternity? For he will avenge. He will avenge. And he will avenge them speedily. Of that there is no doubt, and the sinner must know that. He will avenge you, friend, of every sin. The longest sin far away in your mind, long ago committed. Yes, Jacob had been years, 20, 30 years, is it? Two sevens, a third seven. He had been between 20 and 30 years away from his brother Esau. But that will not make Jacob say he's forgotten. And will you say, friend, that God has forgotten your sins? Will you go on thinking that's the blessing? Thinking that's the blessing. Just forgetting, forgetting, forgetting. What do you know of your need of this angel? What experience have you of this angel? Have you met with this angel? Have you met with this angel, friend? The angel met with Jacob. The angel met with Jacob that night. The sinner, in his distress, his soul, in his anxiety for salvation, in his awareness of the danger, the judgment, the vengeance of heaven coming upon him. How shall I escape that vengeance? How shall Ephraim and Manasseh, sinners like all others, how shall Ephraim and Manasseh get the blessing? Tell them this, he says. He puts his hands upon them, and this comes out from the mouth of Jacob. The angel that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. He'll do for them what he did for me. The angel that redeemed me, that's the angel they need. That's the blessing I'm giving to them. That's the blessing I'm holding out over their heads. And that's the blessing, friend, that God is holding out over the heads of the sinner who receives the blessing as they did. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. and the name of my, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth, and so on. There's the blessing. There's how it comes, friend. Jacob got it at Bethel. God found him there. How did God find him? What was Jacob doing when he found him? Jacob was in distress. Jacob was afraid. Where does God find you? Where does the angel find you? Where does Christ find you? To redeem you, the Redeemer. Redeeming you, friend, from the vengeance that pursues you. The adversary pursuing you. He redeems you. That's the blessing. And we may just mention, with regard to this, Jacob, when dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. That Joseph, we're told, noted that he put Ephraim before Manasseh, and that displeased Joseph, because Manasseh was the firstborn, and Joseph would like to change the hands of his father and put the hand, the right hand of Manasseh and the left on Ephraim. And the father said, no, I know it. I'm doing what I'm doing on purpose. Why? Ah, the blessing, friend, must come to you of free and sovereign grace. He took hold of his brother by the heel. Jacob did. The elder shall serve the younger. In this blessing, there's no room for anything of the flesh. There's no room for any carnal privilege. You cannot say, I'm the son of so-and-so, I'm the daughter of so-and-so, I'm the brother of so-and-so, and the sister of so-and-so. Ah, no, friend. There's no carnal privileges of any worth here. If you're going to get the blessing, you get the blessing in a state of free, sovereign grace. No reason why the hand of Jacob should be on Ephraim and the other hand of Manasseh, but this to manifest the nature of God's blessing. That it's altogether of nothing in the creature, nothing of worth, nothing of value in you, no. A guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But this is how the blessing comes. Joseph, when a dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob. And that's the blessing that you and I have held out to us. And if we were wise, we would not rest until, like Jacob, we obtained the blessing. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, be pleased to bless thy word. Mix it with faith in our heart. Put us among those whom thou art blessing for an endless eternity. Prepare us for what is before us, and wash away our sins, for Christ's sake, amen.